If you attend a high school football game here in the state of Wisconsin, probably in a lot of other places as well, you're going to hear that music. Welcome to the world of high school football. There's a lot happening. There's new rules. There's a statewide conference realignment coming up in 2020, and more programs are going to artificial turf. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Great to have with us Dennis Semerau. Dennis Semerau is the co-host of a weekly prep sports talk show. It's called Prep Mania on ESPN Madison and Good Karma Broadcasting. He's also a former sports writer and high school sports columnist for the Wisconsin State Journal and the Capital Times in Madison. I've heard him many times on his sports Prep Mania show, so it's great to be able to meet him and actually talk with him about high school football today. So what concerns maybe do you have about student athletes playing football? Do you think the 2014 rule change limiting full contact practices helped with safety, or maybe not? Join the conversation. You can call in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. Well, you've been covering high school football and other sports for
a long time.
Yes. How'd you get started in that?
Well, let's see. I went back to I'm a Navy vet. Huh? So I went to Marquette for a year. Then I went to work and decided 84. I had the GI Bill, came back. My wife and I were in Madison. I'd been working in radio for a few years and decided I had to get my degree, and I had till July of 86 to use up my GI benefits. So in January 84, I enrolled. I'm a Badger. I was a Marquette Warrior before that. Not a Golden Eagle, a Warrior. I went to Marquette the year Al McGuire won the national title. Oh, that was my freshman year. So I've always been a big sports guy, and when I went back to school here in 84, Jim Mott was the sports information director at Wisconsin. Yeah. And one of my journalism professors suggested that I go over and see Jim. And I went over in the first week. I was part-time, did about 6-7 hours. And I don't think I worked any less than 20 or 30 after that. For a while, I worked with Jim for a long time. And that's how I kind of got into that. And at that time, it's now Athletic Communications, but it was called the Sports Information Office back then.
Yeah.
They were responsible for almost everything high school related that was here. Jim put together the football program, basketball, media guides, the wrestling tournament, you know, you name it. Our office did it. So I got my early exposure to high schools back in the 80s. So that's when I started.
And the show, talk about your weekly radio show.
Oh, well, we were doing a weekly show on Fridays the last couple of years. Now we're back out doing games. So
yeah.
This Friday we'll be doing Madison West at Middleton High School. Week one was Memorial at Sun Prairie. Last week was Wanakee at Stoughton. So it's good to get back out on my beat. Instead of being on the sidelines when I was a reporter, we used to be able to roam the sidelines. And now you got laptops and you have to tweet and do all this stuff. You're usually in a press box. So it's been a few years since I'd been in a press box for Fridays. We've done a state tournament for ESPN. We do all 7 games. And for those, I'm also part of the stats crew for the WA because I'm part of the Badger stats crew. So I get to see 7 high school state championship games every year, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. This year, because we're calling games through the regular season, I'll get to work 20 of them. So so we're on
so
week
that's
3.
Fun. That's fun for you, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's nothing better than a high school sporting event.
Yeah.
Good bang for your buck. I mean, it's great. If we can keep the parents from yelling at the officials and yelling at their kids, you know, that's one of the things with high school sports that it used to be about, you know, being a team and learning a lot of lessons. Now parents think it's about getting a scholarship. And very few athletes get scholarships. And a lot of those that move on, they might stick a year or two and are gone. Even guys that come here to Wisconsin, or walk-ons or come here, you know, injuries and other things come in the way. And it's a business when you get to that college level. You know, we were just talking with a Whitewater coach, and they're Division III. It's a full-time job, and you're a full-time student. The term student-athlete applies at every level, not just the college, the high school. It all goes all the way down to the youth. And if you don't get them in grade school, you know, worrying about school, they're going to be ineligible when they get to high school or college, and then they don't play. So,
well, Mike in Minocqua has something for us. What do you got, Mike?
Oh,
Hi there.
Larry?
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
My question is, I read recently where the number of kids going into high school football has gone down across the country. I was wondering if he finds that's true in Wisconsin, and if he thinks that's going to affect the sport in general.
Well, yeah, I think it has gone down. Football is still the most popular. There's over a million players around the country, and in Wisconsin, it's still number one. Outdoor track is number one for the girls, by the way. But, yeah, there a lot of things. As a parent, my son, did he want to play football or not? And I remember Pat Rice, who's a longtime coach at Wanakee, they won six state titles. I remember when my son was growing up, he said, oh, he's going to be a player. He's going to be a big guy who's going to want to play. But he said, Dennis, if he doesn't want, don't force it. They have to want to play the sport, because if you don't, you're going to get hurt. So there's more parents now worried about the concern about helmets, about the contact issues, concussions, as they well should be. But Al Toon, who had a lot of concussions, you know, he ended up having to retire from the Jets when his son Nick was going through the Middleton District. Nick had to get in the car in seventh grade and say, Dad, I want to play. You got to sign me up. Then Al relented. He wasn't going to have him play till high school because he thought he shouldn't be playing until high school. So there are concerns out there, but what we're going to start to see more and more in communities, and you see it up north, is flag football. That they start flag football, and in this area they're starting tackle in fourth grade. And I've talked to the McFarland coach, Lodi coach, coaches we had in for our coaches show before the season, and they all agree, if you put it in and nobody else does, then the kids who want to play tackle, they're going to go to other communities. You're going to lose athletes. So people want to do it together. But as they gradually decide, fourth grade, then fifth grade, then sixth grade, and flag football is a great alternative because you can teach the fundamentals. You get a little bit of contact in there. Going for the flag. Going for a flag is sort of, you know, get them in position like it's making a tackle. And that'll be a positive, but it's the concussion, that's a big concern. But it's not just football; it's cross country, it's soccer more so than I think even football.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I've got a daughter who's in high school, and she plays in the band, so I get a chance to sometimes I'm volunteering in the concessions stand.
But that's part of being a parent, right? You got to be there for your kids.
That's part of being a parent, but other times I get to watch the games. And you're right, they are a lot of fun to watch, and it's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, I think football it's safer now, coaches say, more than it's ever been. Part is the lack of contact in practice. There are a lot of drills that you can go through to simulate the tackle to get them in position. It's not the same as if you're tackling it all the time, but you have to think safety first. And all the football coaches I know down in this area, it's safety first, the equipment, everything else, and you have to make sure the kids are out there, not because their parents are forcing them to play, but because they want to play.
And what is that rule was in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, the Wisconsin WIAA introduced that rule change, limiting full contact.
Limited contact in practice. They've also the acclimatization, limited how long you can practice and the times the kids are out there on water breaks. I mean, I just saw Remember the Titans, and this is the classic, waters for the week. You know, what are you doing here? You know, and I'm like, they used to give us salt tablets and stuff. And you think about in the 70s, what my generation was going through, and now how much safer it is.
And as we look at the numbers, or maybe you don't know this, but I'm just wondering if the numbers of concussions and so forth has gone down.
They have since they've gone to that. Tim McGuine, who works with the UW Sports Medicine, now he's out of Sauk Prairie. Originally, he's done a number of studies, and the contact that, and also the specialization issue, that also impacts, you know, if you're just in one sport year-round, and the chance for concussions in that sport are greater. But overall, with the rules and things they've put in changes, it is a lot better than it's been, but it's still an issue, though.
Dennis Semrau, our guest today, he is co-host of a weekly prep sports talk show. It's called Prep Mania. He's doing you're going to do about 20 high school football games over the season, this coming season. It's great to talk with him about high school football and high school athletics in general. He can certainly talk about a number of things. I hope you'll join in. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us. And then we'll be back with Dennis Semrau. Stay with us. We'll be back right after the news. talking high school football now here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. In the studio with me today, Dennis Semrau. He's the co-host of a sports show. It's called Prep Mania. He does play-by-play of high school sports on ESPN Madison, Good Karma Broadcasting. He's a former sports writer. Actually, he's not a former sports writer because he's still writing.
Just not for the Cap Times and State Journal anymore, that's all.
So what do you want to know about high school football? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Zeroing in on football, but I'm other high school athletic, you know, sports and so forth. I'm sure Dennis has got comments on that as well. 1-800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Mike in Milwaukee's been waiting a bit, so let's go there. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I think there's a disconnect here. I totally agree that tackle football before the age of 13 or 14 is not just dangerous. I think it's bordering on child abuse because a lot of the injuries that happen when you have sixth graders playing versus seventh or eighth is just not, it's not, not healthy. But the problem is the pressure from the fans, especially the fathers who want to relive their glory days and all the other things. But my other comment is the football season, high school football season has basically gotten way too long. It starts beginning of August. I remember in the 70s we started maybe the second week in August and 2 weeks and then eight games and it was over. Last year I listened to a high school playoff game and it was the early November. It was 34 degrees, rainy and snowy, and I couldn't believe anybody in their right mind would enjoy playing any kind of football in that weather. So I guess what we want and what we're actually willing to accept, I think, is kind of a disconnect because you mentioned something to any of the local community supporters that you want to get rid of tackle football, and they will just, you get belittled and pressured into believing that, well, everybody else does it, so we should too.
Yeah. Mike, thank you for calling. Dennis, comments?
Yeah, I agree. The tackle, I think, before seventh grade, you have such a size discrepancy in some ages where they used to have, if you're big, you can never run the football. You're all yours a lineman. And a lot of kids don't want to play line at that age. My son didn't want to play line at that age. I understand. So that's where flag football comes in. I really like it. They're starting that in first, second grade. Sometimes it's like T-ball, a lot of guys running around not knowing what's going on. But it's, you know, kids out there having fun having an activity and everybody gets to run with a football or catch it and throw it and whatever. So I like flag football. I think that's a positive. He was talking about before they had playoffs when you had eight game seasons or nine game seasons. And now with playoffs, that adds four extra weeks. And then into the fifth week is the state finals. And I was listening to somebody, on a national show talking about playing deer hunting in Wisconsin. Deer hunting is a religion up north, and for those, it's the gun season. So why is football on a Thursday and a Friday? Because the gun starts on Saturday. So you want to get all the kids, people off the roads, but all the hunters back up north. If you held football even later in November, probably half the state wouldn't show up for the games because deer hunting is such a big thing in the state. But that's with the playoffs, so now you have a 14-game season. They had one season because of they used to have a game on a Thursday or Friday and then come back and play the following Tuesday. Now we look on that. That was insane.
Yeah.
You could have three games in 10 days. So they got away from that. But, kids need some contact, I think. But the flag football will, you know, that's a good way for them to get into it. Teach them the fundamentals. And then when you get up to the level, make sure your coaches are certified. And the Green Bay Packers in the state are doing a good job of working with the youth programs to help make football safer.
Thanks again, for that call. Todd in Minong has something for us too.
Yeah, hi guys. I just wanted to say that I played football in the Suburban League in Chicago. I'm 76 now, but I was 84 pounds my freshman year and 119 my senior year, the littlest guy in the league all 4 years, but I was a hitter. And I was going to say that some kids absolutely have to have contact. I played baseball and basketball and the other sports, but I wasn't happy. I had to hit. I had to have contact. So, and right now, I think I'm pretty sane. I still do coach. I work with the wrestlers. I wrestled also, but and I work with the volleyball here. And but I absolutely, I had to have contact. And the bigger you were, the better. I just loved hitting you.
The first thing he said when he told me his weight was he had to be a wrestler. That's awesome because I think those sports are so compatible, the physical nature, and I agree some kids need that contact. But some might argue basketball falls into that. If you've seen some of the basketball games I have, they're getting pretty rough out there right now.
Kay emailed that she has a son who plays football, and she's always worried about injuries. They may have less contact during practice, but do they or should they limit the time on the field during game? Her son played all but three plays in his last game, and this is not uncommon for him. What's your opinion on that? In other words, he must have played both ways.
Played both ways, yeah. You see that, especially at the larger schools, they want a two platoon. They want offense, the defense, or some kids just will play special teams. More kids get to play that way. And the injuries happen when you're more fatigued. That's just a fact. It's going to happen. So, one, it must be playing for a team where he has to play both ways, maybe because of numbers. Or if he's very talented, some kids do not want to leave the field. Rodney Wettig, who's the former coach at Beloit Memorial, now he's up at Milton. His son Matthew was one of those kind of players that he didn't want to leave the field. He was the punter. He kicked off. He did extra points. He was a linebacker. He was a tight end. And with their team, they had numbers, but he was such a good athlete, and he wanted to be on the field. But coaches will try to limit, the one side of the ball or the other. Maybe if you're better in offense, you might get some reps on D, and they try to, make sure you do get rest during it. But some kids just, if they're out to play and they want to play every play. But as a parent, I'd say you'd have to monitor and make sure your kid is healthy, and if he has an injury, to report it, not try to be brave and try to hide something.
Yeah, that is for sure. We've got some more callers online. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We have Ken in Blanchardville, I believe, up next. Ken, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I kind of wanted to call as a former football player, well, all sports kind of thing. I just grew up. I'm a baby boomer. And, whatever the season was a sport we played. But I played high school football, had some success there, went to college, 3 weeks of training and all that. And my very first running play that I carried the ball as a running back, I severely broke my arm. And so it kind of made and had follow-up surgeries and things like that. So I kind of reevaluated my look on violent sports. And in a way, I'm kind of thankful for it in light of all the head injury revelations that have been coming out and all that. I might have saved myself a lot of further damage and injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can relate. I played high school football, and I had a hip injury, and that ended my football career. I had some problems with it. So became a manager and a statistician, and now end up being a sports writer off of it. So I found a different way to be able to be close to the sport. But, yeah, injuries, that'll do it for you. And especially when you get to the college level, again, it's a business and a lot of other things, and eventually you decide, is it for me or isn't it? And, Luck from the quarterback for Indianapolis has taken a lot of heat for retiring. And I guess for fans that have season tickets and now see that the season might be gone, they might be upset. But the injuries he's gone through and what you have to do to play as a professional athlete. I work with Mark Tauscher with ESPN, and, he can tell you a lot of things that he's gone through or seen as a player. And you want to be able to, walk and be able to play with your kids and your grandkids down the road. So there's decisions as you go further along on how far you want to go and what is it worth to you to keep playing the game.
Excuse me, Brad in Plover, it's your turn. Hi, Brad. I guess we lost Brad. He had a comment, I believe, about size disparity. I was thinking about that just in terms of my own daughter, who her birthday falls on September 1st, so she turns out to be, she could have either been the oldest kid in the class or the youngest, and it turns out she's the youngest. And so the size disparity just on that alone can make a big difference.
It can, and that's well. You have a sport like wrestling; you have all the you know the weight classes, which help kind of split that up. But you're in football. There are a number of the larger schools that would do a lightweight and a heavyweight for freshman football, and they put you in that classification so that you were playing at least close. But it's at that youth level; it's very difficult. Kids want to play, and they'll be playing out in the backyard. And someone might be playing football, whether you like it or not, as a parent. They just might be doing it with their friends without any pads out in the yard versus in a youth program where you have the coaches and the equipment and they're trying to do it safe.
There are many schools now switching to artificial turf, and someone was wondering why that?
Well, that comes to an athletic program in a school. You look at, for example, my son went to Edgewood, and you've got that whole controversy with their field right now. Well, you look at the band being able to practice and having physical education classes on it. Your baseball, softball teams have a place to do some practice when the weather's bad in the spring. The facilities are becoming multiple use, not just for football. A good grass football field, if you're playing soccer on it too and having other activities, you get a bad rainstorm like we had back in 2008, 2009, or a year ago, and your field could be destroyed after a week or two, which is not safe for kids either. So, and the turf is a lot safer now than it was back in the 80s when it was like basically concrete with a sheet of rubber over it, I think. That was about it. You can talk to Dan Kissling, the Oregon coach. We talked about that in our show. About what the turf was then versus now. Most coaches would like that grass. They like the grass, but they see the turf benefits the school. Wanakee built their field a couple years ago. They use it for soccer. They actually have another soccer field next to it, which is fine, but they have lacrosse, and that's a growing sport in the state. So lacrosse and football going on. With the grass, you have a football season, then you need time for it to come back. And if you constantly have activities and gym classes on it, it never can get back to its natural state or what you want it to be.
I think there's a commercial on TV. You see it on TV, and it's like the parents are football fanatics, and they walk into the son's room unannounced, and he's got a lacrosse. He's going to be lacrosse. They're kind of treating him like he was done something really, really bad.
Because it wasn't football, yeah. Well, again, some of the problems with football, somebody mentioned earlier about living through their kids maybe they didn't quite have the career they wanted, so now they think their kid is, or they're going to be a scholarship athlete or whatever. And that's not a valid reason for a kid to get into a sport. When they're young, you get them in as many activities as you can. Then you hope something sticks. They find a passion for something. When they do, you got to pay attention, because about middle school is when they're going to tell you maybe they don't like football. A friend of mine was a football, basketball, and baseball guy. His son ended up being a cross-country runner, a swimmer, and a track athlete. So dad went from the three sports that he really loved, but he had a video camera and a stopwatch, and he was at everything, and he was a parent that was willing to help out. So you got to play off what your kids want to do. It's not what you want. It's what they should want.
What about this whole area? And I guess if you're listening in on this and you don't have a child in sports right now, you may not be so aware of it, but club sports have taken a toll a little bit in some ways on the high school, the same sport. I'm thinking volleyball, for example, where you've got a club team and people playing on the club team and not playing on the high school team. And it's partially, it may relate to single-mindedness in the sport that they've chosen.
That's what a lot of the club is. Now you get kids playing basketball or volleyball. They want to play with a club because they have a sport they like and they want to play it out of season. But when you play one sport, the specialization here, you talk about lower extremity injuries when you focus on one sport. And Tim McGuine, UW Sports Medicine, again, has a study that he's done on that, which is fairly interesting to realize that, yes, the multiple sport athletes are better. Even though you might improve in your sport, the chance of injury and of the kids just burning out on it is a lot greater.
Yeah, I would think so, although I've seen some kids that just single-minded.
Well, you get the Olympic athletes, a swimmer, you know, a distance runner, a gymnast, a skater,
hockey,
you know, there's some sports, but my favorite days at UW were when the hockey in the 1990 team that won the national title, John Bice and Robbie Andringer on that team, and they were baseball players, and they were three-sport athletes when they were in high school. But at the collegiate level, the hockey was their love, and that's what got them a scholarship, too.
And when it comes to the club sports, I mean, I know a family that the daughter plays. She's a really good hockey player, and they drive from the Madison area to Chicago so she can play on that high-end club team in Chicago.
It's tough. It's a decision, you know, parents and kids will make. You, if you want to do a club sport, that's going to interfere with the high school. But I had a problem a few years ago with soccer. They were some club programs were trying to put their program right in the middle of the high school season, trying to peel off some of the better players for it, promising them scholarships. And if you play with us, you're going to get to the next level. And high school athletics aren't about scholarships. 1% that get to go on and are lucky. High school is about participation and life lessons that you learn. And for those that focus on that, now if you have some skills and you want to play club, a lot of guys play AU and girls play AU basketball at the high school level. Well, when you do that in the spring and that starts in March, that pretty much wipes you out for a spring sport. Even though there's a girl at Middleton High School that made the state track meet last year, but she was playing AU basketball, and you talk about somebody that had no time. She wasn't in Dallas on a weekend for that. She was at a track meet. And by the way, they're also students too, so you have to figure out how much you're going to burn them out.
And that's the one thing I think about in terms of a really positive value is you have to keep up with your academics if you're going to be able to play the sports.
Well, a lot of your better athletes, you know, realize that. And it's about time management. You have so much time to get your homework done. And remember talking to a couple of Badger football players a few years ago, and they said they were better students during the football season than they were out of season because they had all this free time and they'd put stuff off, whereas during the season it was, I got to get it done here, otherwise, you know, I'm not going to get everything and my plate's too busy. So, and some, the busier are, the better. Some parents will say, God, I can't wait till basketball season started. Volleyball's done and they got 3 weeks and they're going nuts around the house. They have to be doing something physical. So some kids are like that. Others need a break. And I think our basketball season starts too early. I wish it didn't start till after Thanksgiving, where you have a break from football. And right now, if you're a football player and go to state, your basketball team's already practicing that week that you're at state. So there's no kind of a break. I mean, some coaches, you know, will say, okay, you take that first week or the next week off, or they won't schedule games the first, you know, part of the season because their football team's successful. But that becomes a problem when the seasons overlap.
One other issue that came up, somebody was wondering about players leaving. You know, let's say you're in one community and your team isn't very good, so suddenly you're now going to a different school. That's where there's a better team.
Yeah, the transfer rule, the WA, that's something
that
they have to
fight with.
What
is the transfer rule?
After your freshman year, if you transfer to a school and you don't physically move into that district, if you stay where you are and just transfer the school, you have to sit out a year. But Jalen Johnson and his brother Kobe from Sun Prairie actually moved to Milwaukee so they could play at Nicolet High School. So they physically moved. They had a residence in Milwaukee. I'm sure the WA checked on that because everybody was like, here's a guy, Jalen, who's committed to play basketball at Duke now. And there's a lot of controversy about that. But as a parent, you've got a right to put your kid in a situation where they think they're going to excel. Problem is some of the club sports, you get parents and kids together and say, hey, if we all played together, we could be a super team. Where you get them plotting behind the scenes. And the WA is trying to put some kind of a rule in place that prior contact, or if people are doing that, that's going to be illegal. Right now, it's nothing they can do about that. So, my kids both play high school sports, and I see what they want. But if you're a coach and your kid at the school where they were and now they leave you, you feel like, oh, wow, they deserted us. But if that kid now goes to another school, now you're displacing some other kids that have been in the program for a long time. So you get some frustrations from that. So it's not an easy issue to deal with.
Social media, the age of social media, has that changed how athletes and coaches communicate?
Oh, definitely. I mean, no. As a coach, you have to have access. You send out tweets, or you send out message to Facebook. You've got phone numbers. You've got phone trees, everybody contacting. So the communication's good. But parents and athletic directors and teachers at school have to monitor what's on there, from the bullying aspect to the trash talk going back and forth. And kids can get pretty creative on there. I'm on a lot of the social media because I have to follow high school sports. And you see comments every once in a while and kind of roll your eyes, but a different generation. But it's a big factor. And if you're a coach and you have not talked to your kids about what to post and not to post, you're doing them a disservice.
So what are you most looking forward to this season?
Oh, being out, hopefully the weather cooperates. I talked about the weather. I remember 1995, Sun Prairie won the state football championship, and as a reporter, we were out in the end zone, and the kids were getting the trophy, and we were throwing snowballs, just to say we threw snowballs, in Camp Randall Stadium, so we were having fun with it. But just that everybody stays healthy and we have a good year, and that some of our local teams make it to state, because covering state's always better when Wanakia, Sun Prairie, Lodi won the title a couple years ago, River Valley, when those schools get here. And there's nothing like a state tournament when the whole town shows up, and it's a great time.
And where and how can people hear you?
100.5 FM, ESPN Madison.
100.5 ESPN Madison. Dennis, thank you so much. Hey, this has been fun.
Fun, yeah. Thank you.
I hope we get to do it again. Dennis Semrau, our guest today, he's going to be doing play-by-play of the about 20 games, high school games. It's fun talking high school football and other sports with him today. Well, tomorrow we'll get a wildlife update at this time from David Drake and Jamie Knack, and they'll take your wildlife questions. In the meantime, hey, stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.